I've shared a few times, I think, about what makes this particular Bible special to me. It's actually outdated now because it's an old NIV Bible. And so when I put up NIV text, it's not the ones that I read out of here, and I keep telling myself I need to update, but I don't. I struggle to do that because, like I've shared, this is a Bible that was given to me when I graduated high school. And what they did for each graduating senior from the congregation, they put out one of these Bibles on a table, and everybody gets a chance to come in and write a note and sign. And so members and families from the congregation wrote encouraging notes in here. Some of our members even here have notes in this Bible. Every now and then I look at the notes. This week I did because I knew what I would find, and did in fact find. One of the families in here is the Mihalovich family, and my friend Steve Mihalovich passed this week after after dealing with cancer. And you know, when we lose people in our lives, a lot of times gives us reason to slow down a little bit, think about the past, think about memories and times spent with, and you think about the future, what's coming up. Think about you know, your own life. And as we come to the text this morning in Matthew 14, we see Jesus in a situation of trying to slow down and reflect a little bit after losing someone very close to him. We see Jesus trying to take that time out to think. At the beginning of chapter 14, John the Baptist is executed. As we've seen, as we go through Matthew, maybe even more so than in the other Gospels, John plays a very important role in the first half of the book. We see Jesus talking about John a lot in Matthew. We see the connection that they had. And with the loss of John, Jesus lost a friend, a cousin, a ministry partner. John came on the scene to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus, right? And when John had his followers, he pointed them to Jesus. He said, "There's one coming who's greater than I am." And we see their ministries converge and pass the baton as John baptizes Jesus. And we see that connection there. And after Jesus hears that John is dead, in chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place." He needed a time out. He needed a chance to think. But being Jesus, and knowing what we know about the Gospels, it didn't really work out. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him. And we get the incredible scene of the feeding of the 5,000. Right? He goes to be alone, and 5,000 people say, "Yes, I want to be alone with you." And so they have that scene. And after that, Jesus tells his disciples, "Go on ahead. Get in the boat. Go ahead." And in verse 23, it says, "After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray." I don't know if this is the same thing as what he was trying to get away before, But we see Jesus very intentionally in this time trying to get some time alone, some time with God. Maybe at this time he was forced to recognize that his time was approaching. Now the one sent to prepare the way is no longer there. So the time of preparation is obviously past. And he's seeing his own end approaching, perhaps. And then he goes from the mountain to go catch up with the boat, which sounds strange. And it is kind of a strange scene. It's normal to us because we've heard it so many times. But he sends them ahead in the boat. He goes somewhere to pray. That evening he goes to catch up with them by walking on the water. Which brings us to the scene that we're going to look at here, where Jesus walks on water and Peter does with him. Kathy always has multiple pictures based on the titles. She showed me that one. I said, that's perfect there. It's close but no cigar, but looks like walking on water. So, there you go. As we get to this scene, the title that the reason I picked the title was first kind of poking fun at Peter. You know, he goes to walk on the water and almost makes it. But as I got into this more, I think that there's even more reason for this idea of almost making it. And maybe I was being a little hard on Peter. Maybe he doesn't deserve it. Jacob deserved it last week. Peter probably didn't. Nobody in Wednesday class argued with me on that, by the way. What we see, I think, in this scene with Jesus and Peter is Jesus is seeing that his ministry is kind of at a transition point now. He no longer has John alongside him. He knows he needs someone he can trust like he trusted John. And he looks at those closest to him and he sees very much that the 12 still have their training wheels on, so to speak. We see they're still learning. The focus at this point very much had been on Jesus and John, and we see the disciples being sent off and coming back and reporting amazing things, and Jesus talking to them about what they're capable of, but we haven't really seen it from them. And so he approaches the 12 in the boat. I don't know for sure what Jesus intended to happen. Mark's way of telling it is even more strange. It says they noticed him as he was about to pass them, as though he was just going to keep on going and meet him on the other side. It doesn't say that in Matthew. They recognize him, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now, when we see that, and we see Peter being the one to step out of the boat, we think, of course it's Peter. He's always the one doing that sort of thing. Right? When somebody's going to speak up, we know it's going to be Peter, and it doesn't surprise us at all. He's Mr. Impulsive. Right? That's why Jesus trusts him most. But the thing is, and this is something I discovered this week. That's not Peter up to this point. We are 14 chapters into Matthew, 28 chapters in the book, and this is only the third time that Peter's name is even mentioned. Peter only shows up two times before this scene. Once when he's called, and there wasn't even anything special made of that in Matthew. It says he called these four fishermen, Andrew and his brother Peter, James and John. And then in chapter 8, it mentions that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. So I guess that counts as mentioning Peter, but even then, it's not Peter doing anything. And that's it until chapter 14. From this point on, after he has walked on the water, after he has trusted Jesus in this way and stepped out of the boat, he does become that Peter that we think of. The rest of the gospel is Peter as the primary guy. And it seems like this is the point where he gained Jesus' trust. At this point, it seems like that in Peter, he sees that mantle of John the Baptist can be carried on. Jesus sees he's not alone. He's got someone to trust. Now, Peter stepping out of the boat was not a complete success, right? Close, but no cigar. He was close, but not quite there. But I do think his actions showed Jesus something. Jesus said that he sunk because he doubted, right? But how many had the guts to step out of the boat? Jesus said he had a little faith, but you of little faith. But look at what Jesus can do with just a little faith. Man walks on water. Mustard seed becomes a tree, right? A little faith can change the world. I don't think he's scolding Peter here. I think he's teaching about what he is capable of, teaching about what Jesus wants to use him for. Jesus knows that we aren't finished products. He knew Peter was not ready to be the Peter on this rock I build my church. He wasn't that guy yet. But he knew what he could be. Jesus knows that we aren't finished. And while there might be some growing pains when we try to step out of the boat, time spent in the service of Jesus will bring us closer to where we want to be. Right? We talk a lot about this scene. We talk about Peter's faith, and we speak about it positively when he gets out of the boat. Right? He got out of the boat, the others stayed on. And then negatively when he sinks, we say he just didn't have enough faith. Didn't trust enough. He was so close, but he messed up. But think of it this way. Do you think Peter's faith was greater at the beginning of this scene or at the end? How do you think Peter felt about Jesus when they returned to the boat? We go from praising to criticizing, but I think he learned an awful lot from that beginning to sink to the time that he gets back on. Jesus was teaching him. And Jesus does not require us to be finished products when we come to him. He doesn't require us to be finished products to work alongside him. He says, come, follow me. And there might be times when Jesus might look at us and say, your faith is little. I can work with that. He might say, you are so close, but you're not there yet. Let me show you the way, because I can definitely work with that. So much of Jesus' ministry was about pointing out things that are close, but not yet. He tells people, it's not yet my time, right? He says, it's almost time for this, but not yet. He says to some people, when they ask to follow him, he says, I can see your desire, but something's holding you back. Do you remember Jesus' first words of his ministry in Matthew? The kingdom is near. He's saying, it's coming. It's close, but it's not here yet. Well, so we have work to do in the meantime. You know, some people take the stance that when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, he says, well, that's the church, and so it's here. I don't think so. I think that there is more. I think that we are still in that place of close, but not yet. I think that there's still work to be done. And I think we are capable, even if we aren't finished products yet. I think Jesus says, I can use every one of us where we are, because he knows where we can go. And there's one more thing that I noticed about this scene. I want you to try to picture something. It says, Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? All right. So I don't know if you're picturing that scene. I want you to try to picture a few things here. I want you to picture a boat beginning to sink. Maybe there's a hole or a crack. Water slowly coming in. Boat starts to go down. That's what a boat looks like when it begins to sink. All right, you with me? Now picture a person beginning to sink. It's a much quicker process. You step out of a boat, you beginning to sink and having sunk is kind of the same moment, right? I was thinking of this, and I thought back to working at summer camp a while back, and every few years they decide to do some scenes from the life of Jesus. And one year I got to be Jesus for that summer when we were doing it. And one of the scenes they do is Jesus and Peter walking on the water. It's kind of a cool effect. I'm sure you've seen it several times, right? You take a table and take it out toward the shallow dock at the camp, and it works out really nicely where the table comes almost up to the level of the water. And you step off the dock, and from the shore it looks like walking on water. Well, I got to be Jesus, and Alan had a mission was Peter. And so they move the boat out toward the table, and he steps out, and you know, we got this thing all choreographed, and he steps to the side, and I just remember being shocked at how fast he went down. There was no catching. And Alan's not a tall guy anyway, so he just kind of disappeared and resurfaced, and I pulled him up. That's not the picture here. It says Peter started to sink. He called out to Jesus, and Jesus caught him. Now, you could say, well, maybe he was quickly treading water. He was a fisherman. He didn't know what to do. He'd fall out of the boat, and he caught him. Maybe. I don't think so, though. I don't think Peter was ever in any danger of sinking in this scene. I think he had a lesson to learn. I think Jesus wanted him to learn something about fully trusting, about having full faith. But people don't start to sink. I picture, and you're welcome to tell me you picture it some differently somehow after. I like hearing different thoughts on how you read it. I think Jesus somehow gave him enough doubt to get scared, but I think Jesus was holding him all along. As he starts to go down and realizes he feels like he's in danger, he calls out, and Jesus says, I've had you all along. I've got you. I had you when you were walking. I had you when you were starting to sink. And I've got you right now. When we are close, but not there, let's not focus on the failure. Let's focus on our Savior, who even when we have our doubts and our fears, and even when we start to sink, he says, I've had you all along. I'm glad you realized. I'm glad that you now realize that you can't do it on your own. I'm glad that maybe you got got shaken up a little bit, like Peter did. But know for sure that I have you. Help us back to the boat. And maybe in those scenes, we come to trust Jesus better like Peter did. And maybe in those times, Jesus is able to trust us better like he seemed to with Peter. Peter's life and his ministry seemed to take off from this point. He really was that right-hand man of Jesus from this point. Maybe you're like me and you feel an awful lot of the time like you are close, but not quite there. I think that's okay for God's people to feel that way. Because he's still working on us. He knows we're not finished. He knows what we are capable of. So, let's trust. Let's step out in faith and see what incredible things can be done in this world because of us. If there's anything you need this morning, if you're saying, I don't even feel close, I feel so far away and I need prayers, let us do that for you. If you need to say, I need to fully trust, and I need to go a little bit in the water in order to come back up and be alongside Jesus, I need baptism, let's do that today too. If there's anything you need this morning, please let us know as we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today.